Morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Thanks, Janice, for leading us in worship. So I'm going to be honest with you. Technology just failed me. My notes are on here, and now the internet's not working. So, woo! It'll come back. Apparently the TV's not working either. So, you know, God's greater than technology. So, yep, we'll get there. Cool. So why don't we pray real quick, and then we'll continue. God, I just thank you that you are God. Thank you that you're in control of everything. God, I pray you would you'd lead us through this time. Thank you for us being able to worship you, God. Thank you for that song that we just sang, Lord, that you are stronger than anything we can face, Lord, and you're so good to us, Lord. And just pray you'd lead us through this time, God. I pray you'd speak to us and just teach us what you want us to learn this morning, God. We love you. Pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning we're continuing on in our study through the book of John. This morning we're in part 38 of our study, and we're in John chapter 20, verse 19. Through the last few weeks, we've been looking at the death of Jesus on the cross, and then his resurrection. Last week we looked at the first part of chapter 20. Mac took us through that, and we saw how Jesus was not in the tomb. The disciples, Mary, went to go look in the tomb for Jesus. He wasn't there. And then Peter and John, they run to the tomb, and they don't see Jesus. They see just the linens, and then they go back to where they were, and Jesus reveals himself to Mary. So it's been a whirlwind of 72 hours for the disciples. And, you know, as I was reflecting on this, I just think it was, it had to be such a hard time. Such a difficult, something that I probably couldn't even understand. These disciples, these people have been following Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden he's gone. They've given up everything to follow Jesus. They've left their home, their family, maybe their jobs. Probably they were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors, and they've left everything for this man. And now he's gone. And what do they do? And, you know, I was just thinking, what am I facing right now? What are you facing right now that is difficult? What's a need you have? What's a hard thing you're going through right now? I'm sure each one of us, we could raise our hand and share it. We won't do that this morning, but we could have something that we would share that is hard for us right now. And what we're going to see this morning, and what I've entitled this message, is Peace Be With You. Jesus is going to meet the disciples right in that need. Right where they have a need, Jesus is going to meet them in that. And it's so personal and so beautiful that Jesus is so kind to do that for his disciples. And so I just want to think about that this morning. Whatever you're up against, apply this truth that Jesus is going to, can meet you and will meet you if you continue to seek him in that need. And that's what Jesus is going to do for the disciples here this morning. So, I'm just going to pray one more time, and then we'll dive right in. Jesus, we love you. We thank you again for this morning. Thank you that you are personal, you are good, you are near to us, Lord, and we just need you to be near to us, God. We need you to speak to us directly, to whatever we're up against, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're having a hard time in, God, whatever place we feel lost, like the disciples probably felt when you left, Jesus. We need you to meet us in that place, God. So I pray you do that for us. We just love you and commit this time to you, and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So if you remember last week on Sunday morning, that was the first day of the week in the Jewish week back then. Sunday was the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene was going to the tomb that morning, Sunday morning. Jesus isn't there. And after Jesus finally reveals himself to her, and she goes back to the disciples and tells them everything that Jesus had just said to her, and pretty much says, "I'm going to show up to the disciples." And so that's later that day, the evening, Sunday night. They're all hanging out in a room or a place, and they've locked the doors because they're afraid of the Jews. They have seen Jesus, their leader, be handed over to the Romans and killed and crucified, and they're Jesus' followers. So what can they expect other than to be persecuted in the exact same way that Jesus was? They're afraid that they're going to be hunted down and killed. And even we hear, we read in the Bible that after the Pharisees had found out that the tomb was empty, the Pharisees create a lie saying, let's blame it on the disciples. Let's say that the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. And that's why Jesus' body is gone. Not that he's raised from the dead, not that he's alive, but because his body was stolen. So the Jews, I don't know, maybe they've heard of that already. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're expecting that lie is going to be pinned on them. So anyway, they're afraid. They've locked themselves. They're hiding. They're huddled together. And Jesus reveals himself. I think it's beautiful to see one observation I've made here. It's beautiful to see that even in the midst of difficult times when things are hard and don't make sense and they're fearful, the disciples were together. And I think that's one thing we need to do as Christians. We need to learn. When something goes wrong in your life, do not run away from the church. Do not run away from believers. And I don't mean the church is in the Rock Church. I mean the body of Christ, believers. We need to be in community together. If we're up against something, we need to be together. That's how God made us to be, is be together in the midst of difficult times. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're going to go through difficult times. We're going to go through hard things. But we can be together. We can encourage each other. We can stir each other up. We can persevere through hard times as we're together. So, let's be like the disciples and let's be together. It says, if we look back, that Jesus, while the door is locked, Jesus appeared to them. And some would say maybe he just walked through the wall. I don't know about that. Maybe he was really good at picking a lock while nobody would see him. And he just opened the door and showed up. He's like, "Hi, peace be with you." But one thing we see is the sight of Jesus brings rejoicing and gladness for the disciple, for the Christian. If you're going through hard things, look to Jesus. The sight of him in that midst of that hard thing will bring gladness, will bring, the disciples were glad to see Jesus. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He tells them, "Peace be with you." We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So, continuing on in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness of any, it is withheld." So, a couple of things through here. We know from Acts 2, Jesus he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But we know from Acts 2 that the disciples didn't receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come into the world upon Christians, indwelling in Christians until the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was put on to the disciples and the Christians. So this isn't Jesus saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and instantly that they did receive the Holy Spirit in the way that they did on the day of Pentecost. But what's cool is this is showing that Jesus has the authority to send the Holy Spirit. He's saying the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and I am sending it to you. The Helper is coming upon you. And that just shows us even more so that Jesus is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God, and God the Father is God, and all of them work together. And Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. I put this Holy Spirit on you. And we see later, it's about 40 days later on the day of Pentecost, that they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that they the Holy Spirit goes within them. So that's one cool thing. And then we see that Jesus says, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. I am sending you. This is kind of the Gospel of John's version of the Great Commission. Some of the other Gospel accounts have the Great Commission. Obviously, verse 18 of chapter 28 in Matthew. Let's read that. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus is commissioning the disciples here. He's sending them on their mission. He says, they have seen him die, they've seen him now raised from the dead, and Jesus is commissioning them and saying, this is what your life is going to be about. This is what I have for your life, is to go into all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them, baptizing them, and showing them all of my teachings, telling them to observe them. and Jesus says, just as I have been sent by the Father, so I am sending you. That's just the heartbeat of what we should be about. That is our call. That is you and I. If you know Jesus, that is your commission as well. That is your job. That is our task in this life that Jesus sends us out to do. Our churches, we're part of an association of churches called Great Commission Churches. And really, that's what our churches were founded on, is the Great Commission. That's the heartbeat of our church. That's what we're all about, is fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus says, I am sending you to go do my work as I've done the Father's work. So we need to realize that's our job. That's our task. Jesus doesn't tell us to go live our lives however we want to, but to go and live them for him, for the gospel. And as Jesus commissions them for the gospel, for the Great Commission, he also commissions them to peace. And I think this is really interesting. Jesus says, twice already we've read it, that Jesus says, peace be with you. And in some ways, I can understand that this would be, they have peace. The disciples have gone through this crazy 72 hours of seeing their leader killed and seeing him put into the tomb, in the grave. And all of a sudden, their life has no purpose. Everything that they've lived for has just been put into the ground. And I can imagine that they have no peace. So Jesus showing up to them, he meets them in their place of need, that he reveals himself. Everything he had said to them, he shows, says, I'm telling the truth. Everything I've told you, I was telling the truth. I told you I would die. I told you I'd be raised from the dead. And so automatically, of course, they're going to have peace. They're going to have some peace that Jesus was gone and now he's back. And they can rejoice in that and they can be glad in that. But you know what? In about 40 days from now, they're going to see Jesus ascend to heaven. And Jesus knows that. And again, they're going to be alone. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit, but they're not going to see Jesus physically. And that could be so difficult to have peace in that. You and I, we have the Bible, we have God's word, we have his promises, yet we don't see Jesus face to face. And it can be difficult at times to have peace. And Jesus knows in the next coming months and years that all of these disciples would become martyrs and persecuted, and they would die for their faith, and that the church in Jerusalem would be persecuted, and they would go through difficult things. Their lives would be in danger. And they would probably at times question everything that they were taught again by Jesus. But Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He commissions them to peace. He knows what they are about to face, but he knows that he has brought peace. One, he has brought peace by his blood. Jesus brings peace to us. If you don't know Jesus this morning, the Bible tells us that you are an enemy of God because of your sin. You and I, we were born enemies of God. We're not born little angels, perfect children. If you meet any little toddler, my son is 15 months old, and that kid is not a little angel. I love him, but that kid, he look at me, "Son, don't touch that. Henry, don't touch that." And he touches it. We are born into sin. We are born into disobedience, into rebellion against God and against his laws and his ways. And we don't have peace with Jesus. But Jesus died on the cross. He died. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that you and I deserve. And he conquered the grave. He rose again. He conquered death. And he made a way for peace for us. So Jesus brought about peace for us. Not only eternal peace, if you place your faith in Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, if you believe in who he was and what he did and the fact that he died on the cross for your sins, the Bible says that you can have peace with God, that your sins will be forgiven, that Jesus will separate them as far as the east is from the west. So Jesus not only brought peace for the disciples in this moment by his blood and his death and his resurrection, but then he commissions them to peace and saying, "You're going to go through these hard things, but remember to find peace in me." We saw this in John 14, 27, a couple chapters ago. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." So that can be super difficult, though, when we're discouraged, when we're hurting, when something doesn't seem right to us, when we need God to change something, or we want God to change something in our lives, and it doesn't change right when we want it to. But Jesus says, "Peace be with you." In the Greek, almost it practically says, "Peace is with you." Jesus tells them, "Peace is with you. I've made peace for you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I give you my peace." We need to fight for peace in our lives. We need to fight against discouragement. We need to fight against things that are difficult. Obviously, we're going to go through difficult times, but in the midst of that, we can remember that Jesus has made a way for peace for us eternally and in life now. That Jesus is near to us, that he is our protector, and he wants to encourage us. He loves us. We need to fight for peace even in the midst of difficult things. And that can be difficult because, you know, I can go through times of discouragement where, what does my life look like? Obviously, God has given me so many amazing things, a wife and kids and just an amazing life that I don't deserve. But even in the midst of that, it can be, my heart can be unsettled. I can want something else. I can want a different job, or I can want to live somewhere else, or I can want to follow these dreams that I think I deserve to live. Or we can go through a difficult thing. Maybe a family member is sick, or a friend has passed away, or that you're having troubles at your job, or in your schooling, or in your marriage, or in your friendships, or there's something going on in your home where something seems broken. And I'm sure that's what the disciples felt. And Jesus shows up and he says, "Peace be with you. Peace is with you. I have made peace for you." We need to remember that Jesus has given us peace. And that's not always easy, but it's the truth. I like this quote. It says, "He who searches for divine reality with all his heart and soul and finds it becomes aware that before he began to seek God, God was seeking him in order to draw him into the joy of fellowship with him, into the peace of his presence." That's where there's the fullness of joy, and the fullness of peace is in the presence of Jesus. And for the disciples in this moment, it was literally in the presence of Jesus, getting to see his wounds on his hands and in his side and on his feet. And we don't get to see that. But we have the truth, and we need to remember that the truth that Jesus did raise from the dead, and he has made a way for peace for us. If you don't know Jesus, know that quote, that Jesus was seeking you out before you were even born. He has made a way for peace with God for you. If you don't have peace in your life, I would pray, it's my prayer that you would find peace, that you would find Jesus. Now, I do want to address verse 23 because it can seem a little weird. Jesus says to the disciples, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness of any from any, it is withheld." Now, Jesus isn't saying that the disciples here have the ability and the power to forgive sins. That's not what Jesus is saying, because that lies only with God. Jesus has made a way for forgiveness through his blood, and he's the one who decides and draws people to himself. But what this is saying is that us as believers, we can know if someone has been forgiven. We can know and we can see that someone is living a life for Jesus. And so if you forgive the sin, you can see that someone's sins are forgiven, that they are trusting in Jesus. And we can also see when someone isn't living in the forgiveness of Jesus. And so Jesus is just saying, in the same way he commissioned the disciples to, if something is bound, if you bind something on earth, it is bound in heaven. And if you loose something on earth, it is loose in heaven. That's just saying that really God is in control. He's the one that does that. He's the one that has that power and that ability. But we as Christians, we can see the fruit of someone's life and see, yes, you're forgiven. God has forgiven you. You're living in the forgiveness of Jesus. And we can see someone who's not and is living just for themselves and living in sin constantly and unrepentant sin that they are not living in the forgiveness of Jesus. So let's continue on. John 20:24 says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" So obviously here we're talking about doubting Thomas. You guys have heard him. I'm sure he would like to rather be known as the twin rather than doubting Thomas. But we know him as doubting Thomas. So I always wanted a nickname growing up, and I didn't have one. So at least he had two. He's lucky to have two. But he was called the twin. And we're talking about a guy here, Thomas, the twin, who has seen Jesus do amazing miracles over the last 3 years. Thomas has seen Jesus feed over 5,000 people twice with a small lunch. He has seen Jesus heal countless people of their illnesses and their diseases and being demon-possessed. And Jesus has healed the blind and the sick and raised the lame, he has allowed the lame to walk. Thomas has even seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, a guy who was dead for 4 days. And he still has an issue believing that Jesus could raise from the dead. That's so interesting to me. But we do know that this happens. You and I, we have this issue. I have seen Jesus do amazing things in my life. He has saved people. He has freed them from addictions and from just horrible things. I've seen Jesus restore marriages and give somebody who was wanting something so badly, he answered that prayer. I have seen prayers answered. And then when I see something that God is trying to do, I doubt. I have a hard time in life at times believing that God is going to do something. I can be a pessimist. And that's what Thomas was, obviously. So Thomas says, unless I see Jesus, unless I put my hands in the marks in his hands, unless I put my finger there and put my hand in his side, I'll never believe. So continuing on, it says 8 days later, I don't know what happened within those 8 days, but we don't know what would have happened, why it took so long. But it says 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. There it is again. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And said to him, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We live in a society today where everything has to be backed up by proof. It, you know, if it's not on Facebook or not on Instagram, it's not official. You know, if someone tells you this happened, first thing I do is I pull out my phone and I have to look up and make sure that is the truth. So what happened in this society 2,000 years ago when they didn't have the internet and didn't have iPhones? Everything was passed on by word of mouth. And you either had to believe that person or not believe them. And Thomas had trouble believing them. So Jesus does the one thing that Thomas needs. In this moment, Jesus knows the doubt of Thomas. He knows what Thomas needs. He knows that Jesus needs to reveal himself to Thomas for Thomas to believe. And it's amazing that Jesus meets him right there in that place. He says, Thomas, I know you have trouble with faith. I know you have a hard time with believing. Let me meet you right there in that place. He shows up and he says, here I am. And the response of Jesus meeting Thomas there is Thomas falling down and saying, my God and my Lord. And the word there that Thomas uses is literally Yahweh, saying, God, you are God. And I don't know if Thomas had a hard time believing Jesus was God up to this point, but at this point here now, he has no doubts. He has no question. You are God, Jesus. Yahweh, you are the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You are the God of old. You are the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what Jesus can do for us at times. When we need it most, Jesus will reveal himself to us in that place of need. And it's cool because we're talking about peace. Jesus, he wants to commission them to peace. And it's, I think the disciples begin to understand that the peace of forgiveness brings belief, and belief in forgiveness of Christ brings peace. It's this cool cycle that as we understand Jesus made a way for us to believe by dying on the cross, by revealing by seeking us, by coming after us, he allows us to believe. And then as we believe, we in his forgiveness, he brings more peace. So Jesus making peace brings belief, and as we believe, he brings more peace into our life. And we just need to remember that when we don't have peace, are we trusting? Are we believing? Are we remembering the truth that Jesus has brought about peace for us, died for us on the cross? He made a way for us to have peace eternally. And we remember his promises and his truths, and that brings about more peace in our lives. That as we face the storms and the struggles of life, he brings about more peace. We can remember his promises. We can remember his truth, and we find more peace in our life. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. We don't have Jesus to physically see right now in this age, but we do have the Bible. We do have, there's numerous accounts. There is historical evidence for this book and for who Jesus was and who he says he was. And we can trust that. But even more so, we have to follow the Spirit that God gives us to trust him, to find peace in him, to believe in him. And so we need to have faith. We need to grow our faith. We need to try and walk in faith. And one day we won't have to walk in faith. We'll walk by sight when we see Jesus face to face. And God can help us in our faith as we seek him, as we, if you have trouble with faith, ask God for more faith. Ask him to grow your faith. This is a cool quote by J.C. Ryle says, "Doubting does not prove that a man has no faith, but only that his faith is small. And even when our faith is small, the Lord is ready to help us." The Bible says, Jesus said, if you even have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to be thrown into the sea and it will happen. God doesn't need us to be always these huge people of faith. Even when we doubt, even when we struggle, God can meet us there. And he will meet us there, and we can ask him to grow our faith and to help us have more faith. It's amazing that Jesus shows himself to the disciples when they needed it most. And then even more so, he goes above and beyond and is personal to Thomas's struggle, to his doubt, to what he needed individually. And I just want us to remember that. I need to remember that Jesus is personal to each one of us. It's not just a blanket promise. God loves us, you individually. He loves you. He wants to meet you right where you are. And do you need Jesus to reveal himself to you? Ask him to. Seek his face. Wait on him. He will. He will. It'll be in his timing. But if you seek God, he will be found by you. Believe that he will do that. Fight for peace. Fight against discouragement. It's not always easy. I'm not saying that we can't ever be discouraged. We can't ever go through hard things. But remember that God will meet us in that place. Wait on him. I love this verse. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." Seek the Lord with all you have, and he will be found by you. Ask him to reveal himself to you. We got our last two verses. We've read this a number of times throughout our study of John. John here pretty much tells us the reason why he wrote the Gospel of John. It says in verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's the purpose of this book. That's the purpose of the Gospel of John. And that's why we named this study Knowing Jesus, because Jesus reveals himself in this book. He shows himself. He tells us that he is the Son of God, and we can have faith by believing in him. The maybe the most well-known verse, we looked at it weeks or months and months ago. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God wants you to read this book, for us to read the Gospel of John and see and believe that God, Jesus is who he says he was. He is the Son of God. He has made a way for peace for us. He has made a way for life for us, eternal and in this life now. And the Gospel of John is just written that we would see that, believe it, understand it, and have peace. God would want us to have peace. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." No matter what you come up against, no matter what struggle you have, no matter what difficult things may happen in your life, have peace. I have made a way for peace for you. If you don't have peace in your life, again, if Jesus if you don't have a relationship with him, if you feel like your life is just spiraling out of control and you have no hope, you have no peace, understand this, that Jesus is the Son of God. He has revealed himself. He has made a way for life. He has made a way for peace. If you have questions, I would encourage you to go to the Connections booth. Come talk to me, talk to Janice or Mac or Brent. Ask, how can I have peace in my life? How can I have life? How can I have more faith? How can I know Jesus? We would love to answer that question for you. And for the rest of us, I think, again, we just need to understand that Jesus will meet us right where we are. No matter what you're up against right now, he'll meet you right there. It might not always be right today, might not be tomorrow, but if we seek him, if we search after him, Jesus says, peace be with you. Peace is with you. I have made a way for peace for you, and he wants us to live in that peace. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll sing a couple more songs. God, I love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that you have made a way for peace for us, God. Thank you that you are a God of peace. You're not a God of chaos. God, you want us to seek you, seek your will, seek your plan, and to fight for peace, God. I pray that you would help us, each one of us individually, God. And some of us might be more optimistic. Some of us might be more pessimistic. Some of us have faith, great faith. Some of us doubt, like Thomas, God. I pray you'd help us to just seek your face, God, and that you would meet us right where we are, right where we need you. God, I pray that you would just lead us today, Lord, and this week, that we would seek after you, we would read your word, God, and that we would just have that peace, God, that transcends all understanding in you, Jesus. Love you. Pray this in your name, God. Jesus Christ, amen.